Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better get them the heck up, get them going, get them a jacket. It's cold outside on B&E. It is a Monday, final couple days of the month of January, January 30 and 31, today and tomorrow, and then we're into the month of February with a lot to do. What a weekend. Championship Sunday, one thriller with a lot of controversy and one not much of a thriller in Philadelphia. Super Bowl 57 in Glendale, Arizona is set. A couple of top seeds, a couple of 15-win football teams. You can call it the Andy Reid Bowl. You can call it the Big 12 Quarterback Bowl. We got a lot of subplots and obviously a lot of conversation about the games that got us there. The final two games of the NFL's playoffs that are not the Super Bowl. So only one game left in the NFL season, and it's a big one. It's going to be a great one, but a lot to talk about with the games that came down yesterday. Also, plenty of NFL news. The Cowboys offensive staff overhaul is complete. Six new coaches are going to be on that side of the ball for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get to the very latest on that as leave it to the Cowboys to make big breaking news right in the middle of Championship Sunday. Also, the Aaron Rodgers story takes a turn. We've got NFL news across the board outside of the games, so plenty to do. And it's a busy Monday over on the 40 Acres. College basketball, Texas men and women, Texas baseball practicing. National Signing Day is coming up on Wednesday, the second and final open window for high school recruits. So a lot to do. It'll be a busy Monday, busy week, and we appreciate you being there on a 34-degree day in Austin, Texas, right now in Austin, which means outside of Austin in the outer line areas, we have a pretty decent freeze, and there are some hazardous conditions in areas north of Austin, so be careful as you're up and out. Don Miller will be along with the traffic. It's very cold, pretty dramatic change to the weather yesterday afternoon and into the evening throughout Central Texas and throughout the great state. And we're ready to roll on a Monday morning. Great to be back. Great to be with you. And we appreciate you being there. Wherever you find us on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming always on the Horn app, on your smart speaker. And always, Mr. Godbolton, good to see you at hornfm.com.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated. It will start to get a little bit colder as the next couple days come around. Our lows will be high 30s.
Ooh, we may not see 45 degrees this week.
Yeah, but that's
all
right. High. Let's just not see freezing.
Yeah.
Let's see 34, 38 or whatever. What a beautiful day yesterday was.
It was until, bang, temperatures dropped about 30 degrees.
About 5 o'clock, it just
got
so
right
cold.
During the Chiefs game. It just started, and if you were outside sweating and running errands, and then all of a sudden you went up back outside in the same clothes. You're like, what the heck just happened? But, busy Sunday, busy week, and this says, welcome back from sensitivity training. No. I was in Miami. I was had a couple days. Miami Beach. South Beach, y'all. I'll tell you some stories on that. I want to thank the great folks at Pluckers. They do an annual trip, the Pluckers Convention. Dave Paul and Mike and Sean Greenberg, the founders and owners of Pluckers, they do it right. So we had a good time for a couple days, and we'll tell those stories. But appreciate you and Monty and Zay and Ty holding it down here. I'm sure you had a lot of fun. Heard you told the baked potato story at one point.
Got that out of the way on Friday. It was some old man radio.
Oh, I love it. Well, I'm glad that I'm good to see you and good to see Ty. Got a lot to talk about. The Cowboys are making news. We got Super Bowl set And it should be a fun one. How are you, my friend? How was your weekend?
The weekend was good. It was good. It was, like I said, it was beautiful to be outside for actually Friday when it was a little drizzle. Saturday was good and Sunday. But man, when that temperature dipped, I was cooking outside. I was grilling. And all of a sudden I started to go out and I had taken off my sweatshirt and oh my God.
It got so cold now. You were talking. It did. I mean, it went. And you knew it was coming. It was, you know, the forecast had told you be ready for the blue norther rolling through late. Depending on where you were, as far as the geography of the great state, it was going to be earlier or just a little bit later. But we all got it. It's 34 degrees right now in Austin proper as we get this thing cranked up. What were you grilling there, Grillmeister?
I was doing a bunch of vegetables, some scallops. And I had charcoals, no gas grill for the buck. Charcoals are up there, had the hot pan out there and got it done. I had some scallops. It was decent.
It sounds very healthy. I like it.
That went healthy.
I'm sure Ty, our producer, who apparently maybe won, I saw on Twitter, won a big bet with the Chiefs win last night. But sure, your meal last night, not nearly as healthy as the Bucks, knowing your diet.
Well, actually, I'm on a keto diet right
now. Yeah, he's been on a diet.
I was kind of in a testy mood last week.
Oh, you hangry?
Yeah. I've been eating pumpkin and sunflower seeds for about a week.
Wow.
I think I'm finally broken through to where my stomach is not craving
food. You got to plow through and break on through to the other side for sure. Remember that one time you and I did the 72-hour fast?
Oh.
You want to do that again soon?
Yeah,
you
know, I'm
3 days, no food, no water. Well, just water.
Just water, yeah.
Apparently, it reboots your system, like rebooting your computer if you do that.
Yeah, it's time. I had a week of junk, and then I started towards the end of the week to chill out.
Golly,
of that
in Miami for a couple days, man, it ate great. Mahi-mahi and there's a lot of
stuff,
fish.
Man.
It was good. All right, let's get to the headlines. Obviously, there's a lot to do on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. The NFL, the Super Bowl is set. Let's get you caught up on all of it going on as you get your week and your day up and underway. UBO Business Services brings it to you. NFL Championship Sunday and Super Bowl 57 will feature a pair of top overall seeds, number one seeds from the AFC and NFC in Phoenix 2 weeks from yesterday. Both the Philadelphia Eagles and Kansas City Chiefs secured their spots with home field wins yesterday and last night. In KC, the Chiefs topped the Bengals in an absolute thriller, 23-20, back and forth game. Harrison Buckner nailed a 45-yard field goal with 5 seconds remaining to send KC to the big game for the third time in 6 seasons. And Pat Mahomes looking to win his second. Andy Reid will face the team he coached for 14 years. He's now been in KC for 10. A lot of subplots to this game. Now, the game-winning field goal came after Patrick Mahomes on his gimpy ankle scrambled for a first down as he went out of bounds. He was hit late by the former Longhorn, Joseph Osai, who played a marvelous game up to that point, but he was called for the late hit. Those 15 yards tacked on allowed KC to move into field goal range and kick a comfortable field goal to win it. Hate to see that for Joseph Osai. That's the way the game ended in Philly. KC. Earlier in the day in Philadelphia, not a thriller at all as the Eagles rolled past the quarterback challenge 49ers 31-7. They did it on the strength of that dominating defense and 4 rushing touchdowns. The game and San Francisco's hopes in that game changed dramatically on their first offensive series when their quarterback Brock Purdy suffered an elbow injury on a strip sack fumble just throwing the ball caused by Eagles sack pass rusher Hassan Reddick. 49ers were forced to turn to their fourth string quarterback Josh Johnson. He then suffered a concussion early in the third quarter when the game was still in doubt. That forced the injured and extremely limited Purdy back into the game. It was all Philly in the second half, 31-7 final. So the Super Bowl is set. We got 2 weeks to preview it. Eagles, Chiefs, we'll get to the big games coming up. Also in the NFL, big news came out of Big D yesterday. Official word that the Cowboys and their offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, have mutually agreed to part ways, meaning the Cowboys' offensive staff overhaul is complete. 6 new coaches coming in on that side of the ball. And there were early reports that head coach Mike McCarthy will assume play-calling duties. Also yesterday, news from ESPN's Adam Schefter ahead of the games reporting that the Green Bay Packers would prefer to move on from quarterback Aaron Rodgers this offseason and that Rodgers is believed to be aware of the Packers' feelings regarding the situation and is not offended by it. An offseason trade remains very much an option for Green Bay in that situation. News from the 40 Acres, men's hoops, 10th-ranked Longhorns suffered a tough loss at 4th-ranked Tennessee on Saturday night One was part of the featured Big 12 SEC showdown. Rick Barnes Volunteers rolled 82-71. Texas was one of four Big 12 teams to take losses in that showdown versus the six wins. Rodney Terry's Horns will have to turn the page quickly. They open a pivotal week in their season tonight, hosting the red-hot Baylor Bears on Big Monday at Moody Center. Game tips at 8 o'clock tonight, 7:30 pregame right here on the Horn. Baylor is streaking. They were a winner on Saturday. Texas will also travel to K-State this Saturday. And then another quick turnaround for another Big Monday showdown in Kansas, at Kansas, in 7 days. Texas women avenged an earlier loss at Oklahoma State Saturday night. Vic Schaefer's Longhorns won their third game in a row, beat the Cowgirls 78-69 at Moody Center Saturday night. They move into a tie for first place atop the Big 12.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, Buck. So a lot of conversations about these games. I mean, obviously, the Chiefs Bengals game will be the featured attraction because there was no drama in the 49ers game once Brock Purdy left the game with an elbow injury. Kind of knew where that game was going.
He's lucky he didn't lose his shoulder on that.
Golly,
play.
And Hassan Reddick. I mean, and you got to block the guy twice in the early going. Philadelphia, their best pass rusher got loose on a tight end. That was a problem in that game. But we'll get to that coming up. Let's go with it to Kansas City. Where all the drama was last night. What a ball game. Chiefs build a 13-3 lead. Joe Burrow and the Bengals rally back to tie the game at 13, as you knew that they would, because cool Joe Burrow is going to do that. Then it's 13-all. The Chiefs get a touchdown to go up 20-13. And for all the world, approaching midfield, looked like the Chiefs were getting a rhythm. We're going to go down and make it a two-score game midway through the third quarter. That's when the ball just slipped out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. Unforced fumble. All of a sudden, the ball's on the ground. The Bengals recover it, and the Bengals go down and score, and now it's 20-20. It was 20-20 early into the fourth quarter, and really throughout the final quarter, it was 20-20. Anybody's ball games. There were controversial penalty calls.
Oh, there was,
all kinds
there
of
was some home cooking for – they just couldn't wait to get Andy Reid and Philly back into this thing.
And I saw that on Twitter. I know there were some questionable calls. My question would be, because immediately when the game was over, everybody, NFL's rigged, and I didn't see that. I saw some calls that I'm like, questionable, but which calls for
I didn't want the. I didn't like the one where the whistle that nobody heard, or everybody heard, or I don't know how you didn't hear it, and they got an extra down.
They did, and that one was confusing, but, I mean, obviously, overhead video showed the guy coming in, the back judge calling, whistling the play dead before the snap. So it wasn't like they just made that up. That actually happened. And, according to the official, the crowd noise was so loud on a big third down play that nobody heard him. And so by rule, the play was whistled dead. They had to go back and rerun the play, much to the dismay of Zach Taylor, the coach of the Bengals, for most of the NFL world. But again, I don't think they got the call wrong in that case. It's questionable, but same time, the overhead video showed the official coming in, blowing the whistle, waving his arms. Nobody hears him. Then they run another play. Now, I don't know that had any impact on the game because they punted the ball about four plays later. They got a first down, looked like they may go drive. I mean, obviously, if Chiefs go down and score on that drive,
yeah,
they punted. And so
– when a game like that, all the time counts.
I know.
Every second matters.
Every second, the extra downs. But again, I don't believe they got an extra down. I believe that what the official said, whether you agreed with it or not, was accurate. And they had to – by rule, they had to run another play. Redo the play. The whole rigged thing, there were some calls questionable, but the Joseph Osai call,
oh, that's,
which breaks
that,
your heart.
Oh, that
God
was
dang.
That was just a dumb play.
It was.
That wasn't even close. I mean, he was out of bounds. That's one of those just faint and fall down. You can't even put your hands out, especially on Patrick Mahomes. He's going to get that called on him.
And the one thing you know about Joseph Osai, gosh, just moments earlier, I was turning to my wife, we were talking about, because Osai went to her high school, right? So we had followed Joe's career while he was at Texas, Oak Ridge there, up in the Woodlands, Conroe area. And what we knew about Joseph Osai at Texas, he is a high-motor, play-to-the-whistle player, and he's played great the whole game. He's been playing great in the playoffs. Had a great second season after suffering an injury in his rookie year in Cincinnati. Became a force on their defensive line.
No, he's played great.
And you hate
to see
that.
It was a great game, but that was just a bonehead move. You can't do that.
And then, I mean, he went from, this is the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. This guy went from a signature kind of game that's going to put him on the map, which he played. Because I thought there were times where he was their best defensive player, Joseph Osai. He was hitting Patrick Mahomes over and over again, impacting the game, helping them the run game. And then, of course, he makes that play, which is what he'll be remembered for. I mean, that's the 15 yards that allowed the field goal. If that late hit doesn't happen, you know, what are your odds? They're sitting
That's a 60-some yard, almost a 60-yard field goal.
Yeah, they're going to, in frigid conditions, temperatures, you know, wind chills under 10, the odds of making that field goal from 60 yards out, very, very low. And they would have had about 5 seconds on the clock, no timeouts. They couldn't have, so they wouldn't be able to run a play. I mean, the odds were, if the 15-yard penalty doesn't come on
Joe.
I think
they're throwing Hail Mary. That's about it for
them. Yeah, and we're probably going overtime. And that's the thing about that game, which is why it's, you know, going to be controversial. If you're rooting for the Bengals, you're mad.
Controversy is how well Patrick Mahomes played on one leg.
I mean, it was...
I did not think
aside from the fumble,
that.
And the fumble was a kind of a phantom fluke play where the ball just slipped out of his hands, which is his first ever lost fumble in the playoffs, apparently. Yeah, Mahomes with 326. Because here's the thing. Both teams were the same. Neither team could run the ball at all. I mean, neither team could run the ball at all. Isaac Pacheco was 10 carries, 26 yards to lead the Chiefs. Joe Burrow led the Bengals with 30 yards on four carries. Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon combined to rush for, you know, 40 yards. So neither team could run it. Both defensive lines were great. You know, Joe Burrow and the Bengals, you know, people will talk about, you know, they were trying to send Andy Reid to the Super Bowl. I mean, they had the ball twice. It was 20-20 throughout the fourth quarter. They had two chances to go down and win that game. Joe Burrow, I mean, this is where the Chiefs, you know, the offensive line injuries to the Bengals really came to play, because they, you know, they had 12 tackles for loss. They had 5 sacks of Joe Burrow in that game. They impacted the passing game. As we mentioned, they couldn't run the football. So, to me, the Bengals had the whole fourth quarter, once they got it to 20-20, to go win that ball game. This is not a game I pin on the officials, but I know a lot of people do. I thought this was more about Patrick Mahomes. And, unfortunately, for the Longhorn fans and Joseph Osai, you know, one play that you know, that 15 yards. And if you go to the stat page, Buck, and the numbers, everything's even. And really, at the end of the day, if Joseph Osai doesn't commit a late hit out of bounds, we're going to overtime.
Yeah, we're
going to
play
a
20-20
game, which is how even that game was, which is why every officiating call, every official's decision is magnified in a game like that.
And all the time means something, whether you get an extra play. Yeah. I mean, that whether it's 20 seconds, 5 seconds, it counts in a game like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right about that. And that's what makes a classic. That's what makes a classic football game. And it was that, and you're right about Patrick Mahomes, Buck. 326
that's
yards.
That's ridiculous.
What do you think his percentage of health was? I mean,
he
was obviously...
I think he played about 70. Maybe
60, maybe.
Yeah,
I thought 70. I thought he played around 70 because he moved around really well enough. There's some times that in that game, Patrick Mahomes would have taken off and run the ball for first downs.
Yeah,
but he threw on the run when he jumped in. You know, when he came up in the pocket, he knew he couldn't run, and he found guys. Guys kind of got loose, and now I mean they didn't catch it on the run, but they caught it for first downs.
Well, he kind of had to pick a spot because we saw it in the third quarter where he rolled out to his left and had to throw across his body and plant off that front foot, which is – or his right ankle. And it looked like it affected him pretty seriously. So,
it sure did.
I think he was maybe 50%, 60% in that game.
Yeah, and look, going into the game, I went on the air last week at the end of the week, but I picked the Bengals to win. I thought the Bengals would – and I thought that would be the difference. I really did. I think as we saw, the teams were very even. They've played 4 times now in 400 days, so they're very familiar with one another. Not a lot of, missed assignments, not a lot of new surprises. And I thought it would be Mahomes' inability to ad-lib and do that wild card kind of stuff that would be the separator in the football game. And then you add to the fact that Mahomes was out 3 top receivers. I mean, his receivers were all injured, throughout the course of that game. And, you know, the fact that they win this game, and really what it comes down to, again, is the Osai 15 yards. I mean, you know, when he scrambled, Buck, for the 4 yards that he got for a first down just to move the chains, you know, without the extra 15, we're probably going to overtime. Who knows how that game ends, and that's how close it is between the Bengals and the Chiefs right now. Those, you know, Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes are not done facing off to try to go to
goodness.
A Super Bowl. I mean, it's shades of Brady and Manning. Back in their heydays with the Colts and the Patriots. This is going to be an every-year conversation.
Yeah, and that offensive line held together. And Kansas City, I don't think, had a holding penalty throughout the whole day.
Well, and that's going to be questioned by the officials for the critics of the
Now, you're expecting Cincinnati, too. They had a bunch of just dudes in there.
Yeah, and Chris Jones was unbelievable.
Oh, you couldn't stop him.
Chris Jones, wherever they put him, he was manhandling people. You know, he's one of the best defensive players in the league, and he played like it. Look, I just give the Chiefs a lot of credit. I mean, they got one big break on a penalty, and they win it, and they win a ball game with a gimpy quarterback and an injured receiver core and no running game. And I got to give them credit to be back in the Super Bowl for this reason. You know, a couple years ago, their issue was offensive line. They addressed their offensive line through their front office, and they fixed it. And last year, their biggest issue was their secondary. And their secondary is much improved.
I mean, with two rookies playing back there.
How about the interception? Rookie to rookie on a tip drill from Joe Burrow trying to hit T. Higgins. I mean, those are rookies playing back there. So that's great drafting. That's great scouting and development. Because that was, remember, go back to last year with Josh Allen shredding them, you know, that secondary. And then they lose to Joe Burrow and the Bengals in that game, in the AFC title game in overtime, in a game that they led handily and then let get away. They fixed their secondary. At least they went a long way to addressing their secondary during the offseason, and now they're into the Super Bowl. And that's going to be the key. As long as you have Patrick Mahomes, Buck, and Andy Reid coaching it,
they're not going to get away with not holding the Philadelphia Eagles because that defense was ridiculous.
Well, I mean, we've got 2 weeks to preview it, but my early thought is I'm going Eagles. But, you know, we'll get to that as we get moving forward. But for this game, we'll take your thoughts. T.Y., you won the bet on the Chiefs, but what were your thoughts on the game, the officiating, and how it all came out?
I think the Chiefs were very lucky to, you know, get out of that game in regulation. I thought for sure, like you said, it was going to go to overtime. I don't think the last call, which was the call that won the game against Joseph Osai, was a bad call, but there was definitely some questionable, you know, that after that inadvertent whistle, whatever happened there, there was a holding call in the next play, which gave the Chiefs a first down on third down, which I thought was the bigger call of the two because that was a kind of a questionable at best.
Yeah, and there was a sack on the play, right?
No, yeah.
And I'm right that the Chiefs ended up punting, though, right, on that series?
No. Yeah, they did. Points. I mean, they got some more time.
But to Bucky's point,
off the
that
clock.
They took time
some
off
more
the
time.
Clock.
Oh, yeah, but they punt it.
Well, look, too, and I have family in Cincinnati where I would just say to the Bengals fans, you had the whole quarter to go win that game. And your offense, which is your strength, couldn't move the football in the fourth quarter. It was 20-20. And I give the Bengals a lot of credit. They got down 13-3, and it was looking precarious, and they battled back. Then they were down 20-13, and as I say, it looks like the Chiefs were driving to add extra points through midfield, and that's when Mahomes coughed it up and fumbled the ball out of nowhere, and they went and scored it at 20. But, you know, for all the officiating conversation,
I just thought they got the benefit of a lot more calls.
That's
the Chiefs
fair.
Did. I mean, and it's home. You're supposed to.
That's fair.
Or if you're going to get it, you should get it at home. But how they go through that whole deal without holding and a gimpy Patrick Mahomes and him trying to move around and
they
didn't hole.
They had like one.
Did they have a hole?
Yeah, they did.
Well, look, I mean, again, I saw the Chiefs. They called a 15-yard penalty on the Chiefs offensive lineman for taunting when he was 4 feet away from the guy and yelled something at him. Like, come on, y'all. This is the AFC Championship game. I mean, I think we could talk about the officiating in general, but in the end of the day, I'm more on playing and performing, and the Bengals had their options.
Yeah, Joseph just can't make that hit. You can't.
No, he can't.
Not on that particular dude.
He can't. Time and place situation. I mean, any extra yard is a negative. The clock is on your side. They don't have any timeouts. They don't have any receivers left. If you can get this game to overtime, you have a really good chance to win the game because you're the healthier team at that point. And, you know, Patrick was really gimpy at that point. That was – boy, I thought, though, Osai, when he went out, I thought he re-injured his knee. See him hyperextend his knee as he was trying to stop to avoid hitting the bench? That was scary as heck, too.
He took somebody out that was standing there.
Oh, man, poor guy. I don't even know who that was.
Was he getting berated on the way out of the stadium, too? I saw a texter text in.
I hope not. I mean, that's going to be fan passions. And, boy, Joseph
Osai. Well, no, it was. They said that was his teammates berating him on the way to the locker room.
I didn't see that. I hope not. I hope not because he was in tears. On the sidelines, but again, the emotions of a game, that play, that's the signature play of the game. When, you know, 25 years from now, when we talk about that AFC Championship game, that play, you know, a lot of plays will be remembered, but that play will be most remembered because it was the pivotal 15 yards that put it into field goal range. If not, we were likely been in overtime in that football game.
And you know, touchdown pass that Joe Burrow threw on the right hand side to T. Higgins in the end zone. What a throw that was.
And a catch. The high point.
Oh, man. Really? T. Higgins is 6'5". And that's just such an accurate pass. I mean, he threw it to the pylon and put it up where only it's like a basketball pass. Alley-oop.
Someone said that was a back shoulder. I'm like, I don't think that was back shoulder. That was like just over the top of the player in front, was it not?
He had a few passes, too, where there was one where he hit Jamar Chase in the helmet going down the field.
Oh, yeah.
That was a perfect throw. And then there was one in the red zone where he hit Hayden Hurst. Like, it went right through his hands. He was Joe Burrow was dropping dimes all night.
Well, look, I think with a healthy offensive line, the Bengals are the best team in the AFC. You know, at the end of the day, for people to say that the Chiefs are fortunate to get out, I do think it – but again, the Chiefs aren't going to cry for anybody. They weren't healthy. They were banged up all over the place. Their quarterback was limping around. They're not going to worry about that. And, you know, those are the best two teams in the AFC, and they played like it. And I hate it for Joseph Osai. I hope his teammates weren't – I hope they were supporting him. He took that hard. He was just a high-motor player who was playing, you know, a step too far. And that's the way he plays, and that's unfortunate, to say the least. But we'll get into the Eagles game with the Niners. Not nearly as many subplots outside of the Eagles. Just steamrolled a quarterbackless team. I mean, they didn't have one. We'll get into the debate about should there be an emergency in playoff games, Buck. Should there be an emergency extra roster spot for a quarterback to avoid a situation like we saw yesterday? There used to be, by the way. And the NFL got rid of that rule. There was a 46th roster spot on game day where you could have an emergency third quarterback only if, you know, break glass if necessary kind of thing.
They broke glass.
Well, they needed it yesterday. They needed it, and, you know, we'll get into the Niners and the Eagles. And I know for Cowboys fans, to see the Philadelphia Eagles into another Super Bowl is disappointing. We'll get into the Cowboys. The Kellen Moore decision's been made. Mike McCarthy is in full control of the Dallas Cowboys offense. Is it a good thing or bad? They're going to hire 6 new coaches. Mike McCarthy's going to call plays, it appears. That's the decision from Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. So we'll dive into that front, the Aaron Rodgers conversation. It is a good, bad, and ugly Monday, which means plenty of all three. Craig Way has his report coming up. We're just getting warmed up here on the Show of the People. Glad you're with us on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Super Bowl set, it's Chiefs-Eagles. And a lot of subplots. Obviously, it'll be billed as the Andy Reid Bowl. Coached 14 years in Philadelphia. Still well-liked in Philadelphia, but remember when he left Philly, it was just like kind of, we like you, Andy, but it's just kind of time. It's grown stale. You can't get us and win the big game. So he was out, went to Kansas City, and we know what he's done with the Chiefs, that organization, and certainly Patrick Mahomes, 10 years, so 24 years, 14 in Philly. 10 in Kansas City, and now here he is back in the Super Bowl facing his former franchise. So there'll be a lot of that conversation. Also, we know that Jason and Travis Kelce are brothers. They have a very popular podcast. They're going to go head-to-head, maybe the best center in the NFL, maybe the best tight end in the NFL. That's a subplot, but obviously the quarterback, Buck, they're both...
Two Texans,
two Big 12 quarterbacks.
Two brothers.
First time two black quarterbacks, yeah. Patrick Mahomes of mixed race, but yes, his father is black. And Jalen Hurts, his father was his high school coach at Channelview. He was a winner at Alabama. And what a teammate he was for Nick Saban with the Crimson Tide, then very smartly transferred to Oklahoma to learn under Lincoln Riley for a year. And
As physical as you thought the 49ers were, the Philadelphia Eagles have been the most physical team in football all year long, and my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the quarterback issues will be the headline, but you're right about that. I mean,
I'll give Purdy 17 more points.
Niners.
That wouldn't have helped.
No, I mean, if Purdy stays healthy, it'll be a ball game, because I do think after the early slow start, maybe looked a little bit slow-footed, the Niners got a hold of it. And obviously there, they'll also talk about officiating DeVonta Smith on the fourth down play.
Oh, that
ball clearly hit the bound, but that was just smart football. I mean,
he got up real quick and said, let's go.
And obviously they have a hand signal that's, hey, let's go. Let's not let this get to review. And you know, Kyle Shanahan didn't have time to throw the challenge flag, and they had a play run before. And that's just good. That's good coaching. That's a well-coached team that understood.
And they didn't have the angle on TV for the call-in to say, right. Hey, listen, let's go. That's not a completion.
And, you know, again, everybody wants to blame officials, but the official that would have made that call was on the other side of the play. He was shielded from it, and he wouldn't have seen it. Anybody else would have been blocked by the defenders. So it was one of those calls you were going to have to see on replay. And
it didn't matter. Without Purdy, they weren't going anywhere anyway.
But the Eagles didn't allow it to get to that. You know, in hindsight, Kyle Shanahan should have dropped the red flag. Look, as soon as you saw DeVonta Smith doing that hand signal,
drop the flag,
because he's essentially saying, I didn't catch it. Let's hurry. Let's get to the line of scrimmage. It could be questionable. And obviously, maybe Shanahan didn't see it because he's doing a lot of different things as a head football coach. and it all happened quickly. But again, I give the Eagles credit on that. I'm not going to blame the officials. That was just smart football. But you're right. I mean, the big picture, lines of scrimmage. I mean, the Niners are right there as the best offensive and defensive lines, but the Eagles were superior on the offensive and defensive lines.
Yeah, they ran when they had to run the ball.
They did. And, you know, Nick Sirianni in that run game, pretty impressive, because what they were doing, Buck, is they were lining up strong side and they were running back to the weak side. And that was
good. Who's dude number 14? I mean, I've seen him play a couple.
Kenneth Gainwell, yeah.
Is that a true running back?
Or he's a rookie.
No, he's a second or third year player.
Is that a true running back? Or?
Well, the Eagles show
it's a
you.
Weird number 14 in the backfield.
I mean, all these teams, to me, are examples, outside of Christian McCaffrey, of why the Cowboys never should have invested in Zeke Elliott with the big money. You can get a lot of production out of three good running backs, right? You can go Miles Sanders. You can go Kenneth Gainwell. You can go, who's the third running back that they run up
Boston
in there?
Scott.
Boston Scott scored a touchdown.
Yeah, he loves to score touchdowns.
And those guys are cheap. And, invest in your offensive line. Invest in your defensive line and your pass rush, which the Eagles have done. Look, I mean, again, credit, just like we mentioned the Chiefs, you know, big, we'll get to the macro conversations and the micro, the game itself, but the macro is the Chiefs had big issues on their offensive line and their secondary over the last couple of off seasons, and they addressed them with great scouting and a couple of trades, you know, free agent signings, and now the offensive line is a strength for the Chiefs, and their secondary is vastly improved year over year.
Boy, and their linebackers can still run.
But think about the offseason the Eagles had. Think about the offseason the Eagles had. Eagles were behind the Cowboys. They were a 9-win team, and they went and got A.J. Brown. They made a trade for a top-end safety, Gardner Johnson from the Saints. They addressed their issues, and here they are. I mean, they trusted their instincts on Jalen Hurts and what kind of leader and player and star he could be at quarterback running that offense. And you're right, Buck, their lines of scrimmage. Look, think about that first touchdown to go up 7-0. I mean, they moved the Niners backwards on a simple handoff to Miles Sanders. But when we talk about the ability to line up strong side, like you're running to the right and run back to the weak side, which the zone read.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Fred Warner, 54, is the best linebacker in the league, and he was frozen on a number of plays because he's got to stay with Jalen Hurts. And then they're running back weak side, and Jason Kelce, the center, kicks out, and he's pulling back to the weak side. Man, that's almost an unstoppable run play because the middle linebacker has to honor Jalen Hurts on the strong side and his ability to pull it and run. I mean, that's what's made them so good and so dynamic offensively all year long.
Well, they had set runs for Jalen Hurts in that game. They shoulder or no shoulder, they went back to what they have done all year. He was going to run the ball.
Yeah, and he wasn't 100% either, didn't feel like. I mean, he wasn't.
Or he said he wasn't. His throwing looked just fine to me.
Well, and he just didn't look as explosive as we've seen him at times. But now he and Patrick Mahomes will have 2 full weeks to get as healthy as possible and get the rehab and the intense rehab to be as healthy as they can for the big game. As for each game, you're right. I mean, the Eagles, you know, they'd be Daniel Jones and no quarterback Niners. But, man, those lines of scrimmage are really, really impressive.
Wow.
Their physicality is extremely impressive in Philadelphia. And they clearly were the best team in the NFC this year. Chiefs, I agree with Ty. I agree with you. There's some good fortune there for the Chiefs to find their way to the Super Bowl. There were some, you know, friendly calls. There were some good fortune. The Osai penalty obviously stands out. But at the same time, as long as the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, Buck, injured or not, they're going to have a chance to make
the
Super Bowl every
and
year.
As you said, they fixed their offensive line. I mean, I'm looking for some kind of holding call, but they didn't. They had maybe one, as Ty said, or maybe none. But you know what they did? They fixed it. They fixed their offensive line. They knew they had to protect that particular quarterback, and they protected him well with a gimpy leg.
Yeah, they have, and it's become a strength of their team. And that was a couple years ago. That was their big issue.
Well, it starts with that center.
Yeah. Out of Creed Humphrey, right? Out of Oklahoma. good player. And, yeah, again, last year their Achilles heel was their secondary, and that's when you see three rookies starting in their secondary and making impactful plays against Joe Burrow and the Bengals and playing well. That's great scouting. That's great development. That's great coaching. And, I mean, those two teams, Cincinnati and the Chiefs, could play 10 times, and it's going to be 5-5. I mean, every game's going to go down to the wire. They're so even. The quarterbacks are both so good.
Yeah, now wait till Brady gets to San Fran. Brady to San Fran, Aaron Rodgers to the Jets.
Well, I was thinking about that because we're going to get into the quarterback days of our lives. We're already there. Aaron Rodgers could be traded, and Adam Schefter had the report over the weekend. The Jets are a name you're hearing
of
quite
course.
A bit. with Aaron Rodgers following the Brett Favre footsteps. Of course, Brett Favre was traded late in his career to the Jets, and Nathaniel Hackett was fired in Denver, but he was the offensive coordinator in Green Bay. He's been hired in New York, so people are already making that link. And as far as Tom Brady, look, the Brock Purdy injury, Buck, on the first series, if that's a torn ligament in his elbow, if that's some type of UCL, ulnar collateral ligament, like a baseball pitcher, which it could be, he can't be your quarterback next year. I mean, that's one of those you're going Tommy John kind of thing.
Or you weren't throwing the ball way down the field with him anyway.
Right. So, again, here's Kyle Shanahan off a year, another what could have been if not for injuries and what's gone on. And at the same time, he heads into the offseason with his quarterback position in flux. Jimmy Garoppolo's going to be gone. Is Brock Purdy injured? Now, look, if that's just a minor strain and he's going to be okay, but again, if we hear worse, now you got a real problem. And maybe Tom Brady does become an option because you got to do something. Trey Lance.
With that football team, you do. You can't just put anybody in there.
You're too talented.
You just put anybody in there who won 10 games.
Yeah. You were undefeated with Brock Purdy. And look, I think Brock Purdy's a pretty good player. But at the same time, if you could land Tom Brady back home, but obviously the Raiders are going to be a conversation heavily when it comes to Tom Brady and his relationship with Josh McDaniels and the offensive talent in Vegas. But those stories will begin. We'll take your thoughts, the good, the bad, and the ugly from them. What do you make of the Cowboys' complete offensive staff overhaul? Are you surprised by it? I mean, they're going to have six new coaches on the offensive side of the ball. They've already cut loose their running backs coach, Skip Pete, Joe Philbin on the offensive line. They'd gotten rid of all the positional coaches, and now the decision comes down to say goodbye to Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier, the quarterback's coach. Six new coaches, Mike McCarthy now in charge of the offense, it appears.
Yeah, I don't like the move, getting rid of Kellen Moore. I mean, he probably parted ways with you more than you parted ways with him. He probably just had enough.
Well, they expected him to get hired by someone, so they didn't have to do this, and he hasn't and isn't going to. They had to say,
you think
over
with for him?
Yeah, he's not.
Well, when they say mutual, I do think there was a push from Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones that, Mike, we want you to call the plays. They want Mike McCarthy to call the plays.
That means he's going to have to work.
Right. And that's what they hired him for, right? I mean, hey, come in and help Dak Prescott to his highest ceiling, like you did with Aaron Rodgers. That's what we're hiring you for. But Kellen Moore was already there. And Mike McCarthy, once he was hired, made the decision to keep Kellen Moore. And, I don't know where I'm sure the Jones just sided with it. But here you are 2 years in. You've had Dak Prescott. The offensive numbers have been great in the regular season. But in the postseason, it's just not been good enough against really quality defenses, obviously, namely the 49ers. So how do you get over that hump? I think the decision was, and I think it's where Ty goes, that, okay, if Kellen Moore had moved on and gotten a job, you would have been good with it. But at the same time, you want Mike McCarthy calling plays. And if that's going to be the case, Kellen Moore is going to say, well, I'm not doing that. You want him calling plays, I'm out of here. Because I need to continue to my ascent here.
For sure.
And he can land an offensive coordinator's job somewhere and run an offense. I think that's pretty safe to say if he's not going to be a head coach.
And obviously
the news last week while I was out that Dan Quinn is staying. He wants to come back and win a Super Bowl. Wasn't going to take any of these jobs.
Those jobs don't fit him. That's why he didn't take any of them. He wasn't just taking a job for the sake of being a head coach.
Yeah. He went in and he was the one interviewing this for the franchise at some level. You can run the risk of those offers drying up at some point, but at the same time,
just keep playing good defense. They won't dry up. Yeah. Somebody will want you.
And if you're happy in Dallas, making good money, Jerry's paying you well, you're going to have a top flight defense with the talent base that is there. Then you just keep doing it.
He'll get to the point where he can pick and choose his gig now. If they continue to be good on defense,
Well, I mean, part of me looks at this and says, okay, if it's Stephen and Jerry Jones saying, okay, Mike, fix this offense. It's not on Kellen Moore. It's on you and Dak Prescott to get this thing over the hump. We all know what the goal is. Winning 12 games is not the goal. Winning the division is not the goal. It's getting past the divisional round, getting to a Super Bowl. And, we also know that it looks like through this coaching hire cycle that Sean Payton is not going to land anywhere. Doesn't appear unless... the fact that Denver's ownership is now flying to Ann Arbor to meet with Jim Harbaugh, even though Jim Harbaugh has said he's staying at Michigan, but the owner doesn't want to take no for an answer.
They're going to make an offer, and he can't refuse.
That would tell you that Sean Payton, they're not in line in Denver, Sean Payton would be pretty quick. Houston is apparently about to hire D'Amico Ryans, the defensive coordinator from the 49ers, their former linebacker and captain down in Houston. So Sean Payton not going to land there. Carolina's already hired Frank Reich. Jeff Saturday is the front runner in Indianapolis. Arizona.
Is he still the front runner?
That's the report I read over the weekend.
They wouldn't do that.
That's Jim Irsay. It's his team. He likes Jeff Saturday. But a point of that is it doesn't appear that Sean Payton's going to land.
No.
So is this move Jerry Jones, setting up for next year that if Mike McCarthy doesn't fix the offense, that, well, there's Sean Payton sitting there ready to go, and the price for getting him from the Saints would not be nearly as much. And we know Sean Payton close to Jerry and still lives in Dallas or has a house in Dallas.
There you go, Cowboys fan. You're set for another disaster next year.
Well, you know.
You really are.
Optimism until it's not. It's optimism until it's not. That's kind of where that sits. But plenty of optimism in Philadelphia and Kansas City. That is your Super Bowl. Plenty of doldrums in Cincinnati and San Francisco. We'll talk about the winners and the losers, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the championship Sunday. All the controversial calls. We'll get back into it. Plus, we'll get to some Longhorn basketball. Rodney Terry and his Longhorns, a loser in Knoxville.
But got thumped
and out-physicaled, outplayed. But can't let that get you down. You got maybe the toughest week of your year coming beginning tonight. We'll get a preview, including our man Craig Way right now.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
Monday on the Horn, good, bad, and ugly from a busy weekend. Weather could be ugly in some spots as far as some severe weather and winter storm kind of weather. Slick streets as temperatures are near or under freezing in most areas of the listening area, so be safe out there. B&E with you. We'll get into our coach's corner next hour, dive back into this Cowboys decision to part ways mutually decided with Kellen Moore, Mike McCarthy taking over the offense, also the big coaching conversations from the championship Sunday. And we'll get to some Texas hoops as well here from Rodney Terry coming off that loss at Tennessee. I mentioned in the headlines, but I had my numbers wrong. Big 12 went 7-3. 7-3 in the Big 12 SEC showdown, not 6-4 as I mentioned. Texas was one of the three losses. The other surprising loss of part of that showdown, Buck, was Iowa State losing at Ole Miss. Kind of the home teams kind of held serve essentially. I thought that was a bit of a surprise. TCU. Lost to Mississippi State.
Yeah, or their star.
And I would say lost to Missouri.
Their star's knee buckled.
Oh, that was ugly. Mike Miles Jr. Hate to see that early in that game.
It's over. That's an over with season right there, is it not? Or is that just a strain?
I'll look into it. I hope.
Because it looked
terrible.
Based
off his reaction, it didn't look good.
And that obviously can drain a whole team when you see your star player go down early in a game. That game actually got to overtime as TCU got it back because they fell behind early after that. And then outplayed Mississippi State in the second half and then lost in overtime 81-74. But I thought Iowa State losing at Missouri was a bit of a surprise, not as badly as they did by 15.
Oklahoma?
But, yeah, the biggest surprise was Oklahoma beating Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Would they shoot like 73% from three?
They made everything.
Like
made everything and blew them out of the building. In the Lloyd Noble Center, scored 93 points and beat Nate Oates in Alabama. For all those teams, win or lose, I mean, the Big 12, I think, is the better conference, and they showed why, 7 wins out of the 10. Texas, one of the three losses, but not a huge surprise to lose on the road at Knoxville against the top four Rick Barnes team that looks to be the best Rick Barnes team he's had in Knoxville, Tennessee. That is a big, tall, physical team with great guard play, and not just a good defense, Buck, but actually the number one scoring defense in the country right now belongs to Rick Barnes in Tennessee. And
Texas had all of 28 points at half.
Yeah. And if you see the final score, because there were points of the game where it ballooned to a pretty big number, I mean, the game was 17-17 Saturday night, and Texas went into one of their scoring droughts and give Tennessee credit for playing great defense, but Texas went like 7 minutes without a bucket. Next thing you knew, they were down 12. So a 17-all game by halftime is a double-digit deficit. Texas actually outscored Tennessee in the second half, but the 12 points that they could never make that up.
It was all bench scoring because the bench outscored the starters.
They did. And that's a Texas strength in my mind. Their depth is, part of why they're going to be in every basketball game if they don't go these long 7-8 minutes of, basketball without points. I mean, you just can't do that. And it was a problem last year. Felt like early in the year when they were putting games in the 80s and 90s that maybe they'd remedied that, but, man, it's back for sure. And the Big 12 and playing against great defense is a part of that.
Once again, if Timmy Allen's going to score 6 points and not even get double digits, you're not going to win. Sorry, Texas is not going to win the game.
Well, and Marcus Carr doesn't have a night either. I mean, those are your two go-to guys. Jabari Rice, your leading scorer with 21 points.
Yep.
But yeah, that long stretch to me in the first half, they could never overcome that on the road. You go from a 17-all game where it's anybody's ball game, and all of a sudden you don't score for 7 minutes. Now you're down 12. I mean, that's gonna be really challenging at home, maybe, because you got the home crowd and what goes on there, but not on the road. Longhorns got to not whine about it though, man. They got to flip this thing quick. You got Baylor tonight,
like today.
I mean, this thing could spiral if you're not careful. I mean, it could be a great springboard to your season, but at the same time, when you're playing Baylor tonight, who is on a heater to say the least, I mean, they are red hot. They got off to a rough start in Big 12 play, but have really turned it on for Scott Drew.
Yeah, we had talked about Dylan Dessou last week before the game, and the guy had 2 points in 28 minutes.
Yeah. He's hot or cold, man. He's hit or miss, without a doubt.
Well, that was a huge miss there.
Huge.
2 points.
Yeah. And again, I give Tennessee a lot. I like this Rick Barnes team a lot. I like Rick Barnes a lot, but at the same time, that team has bigs. They've got guards.
Who was that big dude? I thought we were going in last week, Ty. They had no big guy. I swear I saw a 6'11", 7-footer.
Two 7-footers.
Yeah, I didn't realize that from my previous watching of Tennessee this year.
They're really good. And again, the
little guy, Ziegler, was just brutal.
Well, now, again, their current defensive percentage adjusted rate is historically good. Better than we've seen in a long, long time when they keep metrics like that. And Tennessee has a chance to be a real problem to anybody in the tournament. But same time, Texas got to turn the page, get ready for Baylor tonight, 8 o'clock, Moody Center, Big Monday. We'll hear it right here on the Horn with a 7:30 pregame. It's the first of a big week. The Longhorns, in over 7 days, will play Baylor at Kansas State, at Kansas on Big Monday next week. Really a pivot point to their season here in late January and early February. We'll preview it coming up. Also, more on Championship Sunday. Get some B&E facts of the day and another record and piece of history for one Patrick Mahomes coming next.